Happy Resurrection Day, all of us from our church and all those on staff. I just want to say, it's good to have a Savior that is risen. We have the privilege this year to go on a mission trip to Israel, and we during that time we actually got to even see the Garden Tomb. We had five people associated with our church go down there this February. I came back the last day of February. But unfortunately, I got sick the day that we had to go down to the tomb. I did not get to experience the actual going to the tomb, but it started making me think, but I've experienced something else. I've experienced maybe not seeing the tomb or the religious things, but with resurrection, I've experienced a resurrected life. I probably say that's probably the biggest thing that I don't think we emphasize enough. That's why it's beautiful being in a church where you can experience the lives of people that have changed. Just seeing a resurrected life. Because a lot of people have said a lot of prayers. A lot of people have, you know, got involved in church. But one thing that Jesus showed by his resurrection, that he had power over death and sin. And you can have that same power. I don't really emphasize it enough myself, probably even my own family. But even recently, just seeing someone, I hope you have a testimony of a resurrected life that it has to do with, well, I used to do this. A lot of people, it's more like, I used to go to church, I used to do all this. But it's good to have a testimony where it's, I used to drink, I used to smoke, I used to do all this, but then I got saved. And I have a resurrected life. And that's what it's all about. And even just recently, just without saying names, some of you know specifically I've been working with, and it's good to see you stop being free of drugs and alcohol, some people that I've been working with, and it's just good to see addictions that people are getting rid of in their life and see that resurrection, a resurrected life. So I just want to throw that in there, because if you have not experienced that, what I'm saying, the resurrected life, there's something definitely missing in your life, because we can be religious. I was in Israel, we saw all different kinds of religions going there. People, you know, trying to get baptized in the Jordan River as if that was going to do something to them, but it didn't. We saw, like, Catholics, probably even some of the Mormons are down there. Everybody's down in Israel. But it's all religious. But it's neat when you actually see a resurrected life. There's a change. I know I didn't experience, I even feel bad even telling you. I went all the way down to Israel, took five people down from our church, and of course I had a fever that day, and I never got to see the tomb, but I was thinking about that this morning and said, but it doesn't matter, because I remember in November of 1979, my life was changed. Even though I was not even 5 years old, I was a month before I was five. But after that day, I still remember it. I still remember a month after that, you know how children are, praying again, just because I was afraid that I didn't mean it the first time. You know, I just remember all that. I remember what I was looking at, what I said, everything. And from that point on, I've never been pushed to soul, and I've never been pushed to do any of those things, because my resurrection life, it's, yes, I know I haven't, you know, done drugs and all that stuff because I'm young, you know, I was saved, but I had a resurrection life from that time. And it's not me. My testimony is not about me. It's what Jesus did in me and the seeds that he's done in me. That's probably what we're going to talk about, the Garden Tomb, a lot of things that are in a garden. And it's just a privilege and an honor. And I hope many of you just realize you need a resurrected life. We don't need to be religious. There's so many people who are going to watch this and say, oh, it's Easter, I'm going to put on a program. Why don't you just, I don't even care if you turn it off and start thinking to yourself, give me some examples of a resurrected life. You know, what has God changed you in? What has God made you what you are? Or do you make you what you are? And you do what you want to do, and God's not part of the picture. And that's, unfortunately, what a lot of people look like. Before we were just in review, we were talking about, you know, what's in your garden? What does your garden look like? I know it's funny, but I only have 4 points. Plant inward. And then the next point is, which we never got to, plant yourself in church. And then 3, plant outward. And then 4, the principles of gardening your own fruit. So far, we've only done of the first part, plant inward. We talked about 9 different points of watch out for those weeds. I grew up in the country my whole life. I've never really lived in the city. Even the house we have now is at the edge of a village. I'm probably one of the few people that burn wood. I live like a country person in the village. It's really weird. I mean, I have trailers. I'm like constantly building and cutting wood. I live, it's just, I guess you can't get the country out of me. That's just the way I am. But growing up that way, most of my life, and I didn't like it, I did not like when my parents, I mean, every summer it was the same thing. Before you do this, go to the garden. Before you do this, go to the garden. Weed this, do this. Pastor Cole always has the great testimony that his dad would give him a list. And it usually had something to do with either the livestock, and we had chickens and turkeys, so it was either feed them, you know, get rid of the manure, which chicken manure is the worst to get rid of. I just want you to know it's like glue on the ground. Literally, you'd have to just, that was horrible. That's why I don't have chickens. But most of the time, honestly, I spent more time getting weeds out than I ever did grow. I didn't do anything for the seed. We just planted it, and the rest of the work was just getting the weeds out. See, I think if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, God put that seed in us. It's going to grow. God's going to grow it. The problem is, we, most of our time, we just got to, really, it's all about weeding. That's why every day we have to pray. Every day we have to be in the Word. Every day we have to be right with people. Because if you don't, just those seeds of the weeds just take over. We talked last week about discord, strife, iniquity, thorns, own way, wind, wickedness, degenerate and strange vine, wrong thoughts, results of fruitless trees and weeds. I mean, just the end, what we did. Here's the results of fruitless trees and weeds. Matthew 21:19. This is not what I want in my life. It says, when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently, the fig tree withered away. I would not want God to look at my life and say, he has no fruit. He's not doing anything. He's not weeding nothing. From no on, no more, no fruit. And as he said it, could you imagine seeing that? Just literally the thing withered, and the disciples and those around Jesus Christ probably literally watched it just wither away. That is a miracle in itself. You say, well, that's just a coincidence. No, God is a God of miracles. And even he said it again in Matthew 15:13, and he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. He said, not just withered. He said, hey, if God hasn't planted it, he's going to just pluck it up someday. Matthew 3:10 says, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Isn't it interesting? Matthew 7:17-19 says, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. And that's our next point. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Matthew 7:17-19. I want you to understand is there is so much to gardening in our life. I don't think we fear God like we need to fear, because I know some days, I know there are some years in my life that God just cuts it down because my attitude is wrong. I find that, you know, you're talking to a guy that I mean, I just wanted to do something for God. I've had 160 people. I brought in personally myself to one church at one time, 160 people. And I averaged over 100-hour bus route when you could do bus routes real well in the 90s. And it was just a part of my life. But doing all that stuff doesn't mean you're spiritual. God looks on the inside, looks on our heart. And that's probably the fruit that we don't pay attention to. We pay attention to the fruit on the outside. But God is saying, hey, look, a good tree brings forth good fruit. What kind of fruit are we doing? Are we doing a lot of weeds? Or are we doing good fruits? Let's start into this week. Grow quality fruits. Number one. The fruit of righteousness. Proverbs 11:18 says this. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. I want you to understand there's some things about that verse which is crazy. It says the wicked worketh a deceitful work. There's nothing worse than a deceitful work. We see it all the time in politics. They push money into something to find out that the money went somewhere else. It was a deceitful work. That's the way the wicked work. Unfortunately, we can work the same thing, but it says, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. It's saying, yes, when no one else is being honest, no one else is stealing, and you say, I'm going to have a so righteousness, I'm going to do right, you might not get rewarded in this place. If anything, you probably get laughed at and you'll get scolded and, oh, why can't you be like everyone else? I mean, you don't have to be honest on your wages. Come on, you don't have to be honest on this. But God said, hey, it'll be a sure reward. This is not going to go away. Not like a deceitful work, which a deceitful work, you think you're going to get all this promise from it, but it's just money. But to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. And I want a sure reward when I get to heaven, not for the sake that God gives me a reward. I just want to be true to him and please him. Amen. Hosea 10:12 says this, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Hey, the fruit of righteousness, we don't live in a world that does right, living right. There is more people that live together and have children than are married and have children at this point in America. So there's not a lot of people living right. When it comes to doing right, I am involved in the regular world and not a lot of people are honest at all. They will lie to your face just so they can get whatever they want to get. But as a Christian, that should not be us. We should be, our fruit should be, if anybody's, even if they don't know. I mean, I like it when I hear my name Seth and not Pastor Seth, because I'm reaching people that don't even know who I am, but I hear stuff like, well, that guy's a good man, because I supply a lot of different things in this area. And I love when people are like, hey, he's a good man. He does really good stuff, and he's honest, and he's there. And I'm like, that's good. I can trust him. I like that. I wish it was even better. And I'm not doing that to push myself up, but we live in such a weird world that if your kid's not in drugs and your kid actually works and has a work ethic, they look at that as strange. Oh, he's not on the phone all the time? Oh, that's strange. The minority is the righteous living, where the majority is crazy. They just do whatever and they think that's right. Whoa, oh, you're married? You enjoy your marriage? Whoa, that's really? That's just the way the world is. But our fruit as Christians should be the opposite. People should know us for our right living, for our right decisions. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. We'll just do the first phrase. We'll get on to the next phrase after that. But the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Hey, we bring life. If you live for God and live right, you will bring life to yourself. You will bring life to your family. You will bring life to your work. You will bring life to your church. Do you understand what this is? The fruit of the righteous. There's something about, there's just life that you give when you're around. There's a lot of people that when I'm around them, and my wife knows specifically names, because I always get discouraged and go, well, every time I'm around them, I just want to scream, you know, kind of idea. Because when you're around them, you don't get life, you get discouragement. I find myself sometimes doing that myself, but I want to be a person that when I'm around someone else, they look at it like you're bringing life. Not life of the party. Now that's the, you know, some of you are immediately thinking, yes, Pastor Jeff gave me permission to be a party addict. I'm not saying that kind of life, okay? I'm just saying you bring life, not death, not discouragement. When you're there, that is your fruit. There's nothing worse than standing in front of, as soon as they know you're there, oh great, what do we have to put up with now? Instead of, oh, he's here, cool, hi, looking forward to seeing them. There's a difference. Are you the kind of person someone looks forward to seeing, or are you the kind of person that people don't look forward to seeing you? Because you're not that life that brings life, and that's your fruit. That is the fruit of our lives. And be careful, because I could be part of that. I could be the person that people are like, oh, he's here. Well, unfortunately, just with our position, Pastor knows this well. You can live right and also show up to a house and go, oh, great, Pastor Cole's here. Oh, great, Pastor Seth's here. I'm not talking that. I'm just talking in your everyday life. You know, people have to hide things and everything else. I'm just saying, when you're around everyone that you're around every day, do you bring life to the party? No. But in another verse in Philippians 1:11, it says this. It says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. It's interesting that it says fruits. There's more than one. I don't know what it is, but that's the only reference it has. Which, and I love this, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. I love that verse because Philippians 1:11 says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. Today is the Resurrection Sunday. This is, if you take my bad English, the epitome of the Christian life is Resurrection Day. It changed my life. I experienced resurrection life. I know what it's like. I still battle the weeds in my life, but there's something about what God's done in my life. It's all by Jesus Christ. It is not me. And honestly, when I end up doing things myself every morning, I always realize that's why I need to pray and ask God's forgiveness for things I've done. But when I let God take over, it's amazing. You don't have to confess as much. But I want to do less confession. I want to do more, just do something for God. Amen? But Philippians 1:11, being filled with the fruits. I mean, there should be many, many fruits in our lives of righteousness. When you live a righteous life, we should have more than just one fruit. People should see all around us, this man lives right, and look at the fruit of his living right. This woman lives right, look at the fruit of their living right. There's nothing better than having people, I was just talking this morning about someone that 26 years of my life has been in church. It's just my life. And how many people have you affected through that? Who knows? I don't know. But that's the fruits that we want. Now, I know the stories on the other end of not living right and how you affect other people, but hey, let's do some good fruits, some good quality fruits. Number one, the fruit of righteousness. Number two, this is probably similar, but this is just what the Bible brought out in three verses. In 1 Corinthians 9:11, it says this, if we have sown into you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Number one, we should have fruit of righteousness, but number two, just has spiritual produce. 1 Corinthians 9:11, it's interesting. It says, if you have sown unto you spiritual things, is it great things if we shall reap your carnal things? It's doing an oxymoron. It's saying, hey, if you're sowing spiritual, you're not going to reap carnal. The funny part is most of the people that usually call me up and say, hey, Pastor Seth, can we talk or this and that? And it's always a problem. And then I'll say, well, did you, you know, have you done this? Oh, yeah, I've done this the whole entire time. I said, then why are you reaping these carnal things when you say you're spiritual? You're not. You say, I don't know what's going on in my family. This is that and that. And I'm having problems with addiction. I don't know why I'm always around helping addiction things. I don't know why. But I don't know, I've never been addicted to anything but maybe the Lord Jesus Christ, but I love helping people that need help. Amen? Because that's what we're supposed to be doing. But I hear that all the time. I don't know why I'm having this problem, this and this and that. But I go to church, I do all this. But you're not, yes, you're religious, but you're not sowing spiritual. There is a big difference. You go to service, Easter service, Christmas service, a few in between, go when you want to. Yes, you're religious. But are you sowing spiritual things in your life? That is every day. What are you sowing? Because you can't have both. We said earlier, even so a good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. There's something about spiritual produce that I can't explain. You have to experience it. You have to get into the Word. You have to pray. There's no easy way around it. We live in a land of convenience, and we want the convenient way to be spiritual. But I will say one thing, it takes more work to be spiritual than anything in the world. Because I am by nature not spiritual. By nature, I don't know what I would want to. I don't know if I want to be what I want to be. But I know just being saved, it keeps me from that. But I know my potential of what I could be in a bad way. And I have to work very hard on it. And it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that work is not the work like my work makes me spiritual. No, it's my work of letting God be a part of my life makes me spiritual. Because it says in Romans 7 and verse 4 through 5. Romans 7, verse 4 and 5, it says, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, being resurrection day, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." He's saying God did this all just so we can have fruit unto him. That's spiritual fruit. "For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death." He said, what do you want? You want fruit unto God or do you want fruit unto death? There's either or. There's no in-between neutral ground. I think a lot of times we like to stay in the gray area when God says, hey, you're either reaping this way or you're reaping that way. You're sowing this way. You're sowing that way. And that's why God, that's why the power of the resurrection, I cannot do this on my own. I cannot be spiritual on my own. If it wasn't for the resurrection, I would just have a dead God that I believe in, like many other religions. They believe in a dead God, and they believe in it. They try. They put their whole life in it. I've been in all continents except Antarctica, and I've seen the Buddhists. I've seen the Muslims. I've seen all of them. They put their trust and belief in dead gods. We're the only ones in the world that have a living Savior. That's why the resurrection is so powerful. Because we can bring forth good fruit unto God. Of course, Matthew 13, 31 through 32, it says, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in the field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs. And becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof." It's just a parable about sowing. I just put it with spiritually. I mean, those little things you do for God, you have no idea where they go. This is the reckoning. If God can take something very small and grow it into something big, that probably means more than anything we're not doing anything at all. And that is the hardest reckoning about my spiritual life, is that if God said, hey, I can take the littlest spiritual thing and he will grow it into something big. Unfortunately, we try to make our own results, do our own things, manipulate, do whatever we can. And then we always say, oh, I hope God's in this. If you really did something for God, I think God does it for you, even though, yes, it does take our work to do something, even if it's small. But God said, I'll take that little spiritual seed and I can make it great. God does it. But the thing is I don't really think we're even doing the little one, the little things. I think what we're doing is we're having a very big show, showing up to church, wearing the right things, saying the right things. But I have no idea what we're doing at home, because that's where the reckoning is
God said, I'll take just a little. Even if you do just a little at home, I'll make it big. So think about those quality fruits. Fruit of righteousness, spiritual produce. Wisdom is a quality fruit. In Proverbs 8:19, it says, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Did you see that spiritual metaphor again? My fruit. There's something about wisdom. That is the quality fruit that people are missing. James 3:17, Proverbs of the New Testament. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. There's that word again. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. There's some fruits that we want to get. And there's some seeds we want to plant. We want to plant righteousness. And I'm not just talking, okay, I did right this one time. I know children that the parents are happy if they do right just once in a while. I think God does not have that attitude with Christians. Like, oh, I'm just glad you did the one good deed of the month. I don't think that's how God looks at it. But a lot of parenting, I see that. Where kids are, I would like to say other words, bad kids. And then they're like, oh, they did one good thing. Oh, good. Oh, so good, Susie. Not picking anybody, that's Susie. But I'm just, oh, good, Susie. You did that one thing. Oh, that's so good. Now go be your terrible self from now on. You know, they did your one good deed. I think that's how we look at the spiritual life. But God does not look at us that way. There's no way. See, God said, my fruit is better than gold. God's wisdom is just better than anything we can ever have. And we don't have to go into all of it. It's peaceful. It's gentle. If anything, have you noticed that the fruit, and this is one thing I do not like to say a lot, and don't take me out of context because I know some of you are going to text me and, oh, you said this and that's wrong. I haven't even brought any references of soul winning. We always say, oh, the fruit is soul winning. God puts more emphasis on your attitude, on your heart, than he ever does on outward things. We will get into the outward things, and God wants us to soul win it. I'm not against that. But have you noticed how many more verses in the Bible of your attitude is more important than those things? That you should be gentle, you should be peaceable, you should be full of mercy. Are those attitudes? Without partiality, without hypocrisy, those are attitudes. That's character. That's wisdom. And that's one thing we should have in our garden. Other ones are good works. Just good works. I get a kick out of like people that if you do something, they say, why do you do that? I said, because God, it says in the Bible, Jesus went about and did good. I think a lot of times we have emphasized so much of go to church and that is your spiritual fruit. When God said, no, he went about and did good all the time. You do realize probably when he fed the 5,000 and fed the 4,000, even after that, read the rest of it. He even knew they were there for the food. He even knew it. He knew it. He said, are you here? He even asked the disciples, in paraphrasing, like, are you here for the food like them? Kind of idea. Oh, no, you're the Christ, you know. Because Jesus even knew, I'm just doing good. And a lot of people, yes, they did come for the food. I understand that. But at least we're doing good. The thing is, the Christian community should be the people that are known for doing good works. I'm not saying that is the main thing we're doing, but that should be fruit of what we're doing. Because I was thinking at 6:15 this morning when Travis Lewis sent me a text saying, Happy Resurrection Day. And I'm going, 6:15? Come on. I don't get up until 7. You know, but so I can't go to bed because that's just the way I am. So I'm like just sitting there thinking this and that. And I don't know why. I was just going through the verses and thinking of all the good things. That was a good thing he did. Saying Happy Resurrection Day, and it started to make me think about Resurrection Day and how the resurrection life, and just think of what God's done. That's the good work. I think a lot of us, we're not really doing a good work. We're showing up to church. That's great. We give out tracts. That is a good work. But tell me, what kind of good work are you helping people with? The one thing is I want to help people find Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of times What's the number one? Love God, love others. And the way you love others is by helping them find Christ. Take half of that phrase, help them find Christ. Okay, we help them. Sometimes that's by doing something good so they can find Christ and they'll listen to you because you care. I'm not against not giving out tracts. I give out tracts by the thousands. But I do notice I have fruit from those that know I care and work with them and help them. There's such a difference. Because I can easily, believe me, I'm goal-oriented. When pastors said, hey, let's see how many tracts you get out, I said, I guarantee, just because he said that, I'm competitive, I will probably try to get out 30,000 tracts by myself. And some other people are going to come with me. That's just my competitive attitude. Like, that's it. That's what I'm going to do. That's why I told him, I said, I don't know if you want to really hear what I'm going to do, because it's not that I'm not trying to be encouragement. It's just I don't want it to be a one-man show kind of idea. But I will have probably four or five other people that help with it. But because of my competitive spirit, I could easily do all that stuff. But the ones that I'm really getting fruit from are the ones I'm going to their house. I'm helping them. I'm cutting down things for them. I'm cleaning things. That broke down. Let me help you. Hey, my neighbors that are coming to me just to pray. I don't know how to cope. I mean, that is who I get fruit from because they know I care. And they just show up. I couldn't tell how many neighbors showed up crying to my house just as they knew you can help. Because I know you helped me earlier. So they know we care. That's the fruit that I'm looking for. Yes, I do like giving out tracts, but I like working with people. Amen? I want to see fruit. I love, Jake, I know you're in Oklahoma, but I love seeing how God's changed your life. I mean, you've been free of drugs, drinking, and everything else. I don't know if there's anything else to get rid of right now, but that's good. Amen? That's what you want to see. Fruit. Good fruit. But that's why Proverbs 21:14 says, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Let me say that again. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. And everything you do comes back to you. Remember the old saying, what is it? What goes around comes around. What comes around goes around. It's about vice versa. You can take it both ways. That's what it's saying. And you're satisfied by the good things you do. Proverbs 13:2 says, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgression shall eat violence. That sounds very deep. Proverbs 13:2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. And then Proverbs 18:20-21 says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Just the fruit of good words, actually, is what I went ahead. Sorry. Number four is the fruit of good words. It says, a man shall be satisfied, not just good works. Part of the good works is good words. Proverbs 12:14, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Said it again in a different way in Proverbs 13. In Proverbs 18, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. There's something about encouraging words. If anything, I'm not in the position that I don't really, it's very rare that I get compliments from, don't take this bad at all, but I really don't get a lot of compliments in the church. I get compliments outside the church. And I'm being bluntly honest. There hasn't been many times when people in the church said, hey, you're a blessing. Except this morning, a couple of people actually said that in their text. So thank you for that one. But on the most part, I don't get that. But I also supply probably like 3 food banks with food and supply stuff because of camp. I constantly get it from them. Thank you so much for doing this. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I was thinking about that. Their words are encouraging to me. A lot of times, I'm sorry, even going to church, usually it's, Pastor Seth, can I talk to you? And it's never much encouraging. I love church and I love you. So don't take this wrong. Don't take this out of context. Okay? Our family is like family. You yell and scream at each other, but then you forgive each other. Amen? But this is the family of God where we should be probably the most encouraging, the most fruit. I want to go to church to be encouraged. I don't want to go to church to be discouraged. Okay? I'm just throwing that in there. Because I probably get complimented like crazy working with the world because I do so much supply. Now, and it's
insane supply, and I have more supply that's even, God just keeps opening up more ways to help more people, and I've been able to give the gospel out to so many people, and they even know it. I even told some of the people, I said, with all the unemployment going around, I said, we have opportunity to reach out to more people than ever, and the stores went, hey, you want this day, and that day, and I said, really? And they're like, yeah, you have a cause. The other people dropped us already. And I said, okay, let's do it. So now I'm doing it. And out of nowhere, God supplied people to run it for me, take it places. All I have to do is get it from there. They take care of the rest. And these are people not even, some of them aren't even saved. Some of these are not even, one is saved. He says he's a Baptist. I'm trying to get him to go to the Perrysburg Church. He lives in that area. If we can get it started. And but I'm telling you, encouragement is something that is just not seen in our world. And it should be seen in our homes. That is the three missing phrases. I say this all the time to the youth. And I love you, I'm sorry, and thank you. Those are three phrases we just don't see anymore. I love you, and we don't hear it. Of course you can't see it. I love you, I'm sorry, thank you. Just those three. I say it over and over again. We need to practice those things, especially thank you. A lot of times we compliment someone instead of saying thank you. We just, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because we don't know how to be thankful. We don't know good words to say. We just shrug it off. Oh, yeah, it was nothing. Just say thank you. Amen? Fruit of labor. Running out of time, 5 minutes. Proverbs 27:18. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. He that waiteth on his master shall be honored. Proverbs 31:31. Give her of the fruit of her hands. There's something about the fruit of labor. Work. We live in a land that people do not want to work. They want to get paid, but they don't want to work. And I really think that attitude has got to the family of God because, yeah, we want to go to church, but we don't want to work for God. We don't really want to labor for God. That is a fruit that is probably missing that we haven't planted in our gardens, and we wonder why. I don't know why. 10 years down the line, nothing's happening because we're not putting in labor to it. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. Hey, he that works and he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. Our master is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And waiting doesn't mean I'm just waiting. No, waiting is a waitress, a waiter. We're doing something for our master. Someday he will be honored. Proverbs 31:31. Give her of the fruits of her hands. Let her, I like this, let her own works praise her. You put the labor into it, you will get the praise for it. There's nothing worse than letting people try to take the praise of someone else. Like hey, one thing, if there's no sports, but I love people talking about sports. They will literally talk sports as if they take away the praise from the people that do the work. Well, I'm telling you, if they would have not done that play, and they'll go on and on, like, if they just listened to me, they'd be better. Like, they want to get the praise for what their team's doing. They're not even on the field. And they'll go on, see, and then when they do it, they'll go, see what I'm talking about? They did what I said. You know, like, what does that have to do with anything? But they want the praise of something they had nothing to do with. I see it all the time in the sports world. You just, you know, they want to take the praise for, oh yeah, I called that one. I called it. And I'm like, you are not the man in the ring. You have no right to say anything. And you make it like, oh yeah, I know sports. Yeah, oh, you know, I know. You know. But the fruit of labor, get involved. Be the man in the ring. Amen. This is probably the hardest one. I don't know if we're going to get through all these. If I got to stop. Romans 6:22. This one I don't even want to say because most people hate it. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Probably the hardest fruit to ever have in life is holiness. And I will say that is not an easy one to do. If you want fruit of holiness, that'll probably take more labor, more work than I think we even can think of. Because I don't think we really want to put in what we're going to get out. And when it comes to the fruit of holiness, we look at, I mean, people will literally kill themselves for sports. They'll break legs. That's it. I want to get back on the field. I mean, I broke my leg playing sports. I played 2 games on a broken leg before I would get out, and finally they're like, what's wrong with you? You know, my foot was totally blue and purple and green. So I don't care. I still ran. I was hitting the ball on a broken foot. I broke it right across here, and I did that for sports. It's amazing. I got offended. I'm quitting the church. I'm out of here. You know? And it's amazing what we do for sports, for something that's not even a real God, even though we have a living, resurrected Lord. We get offended and... But the fruit of holiness is something that takes a lot of effort, a lot of labor. It takes a lot of time saying, I'm offended, but you know what? This isn't about me. I must, what? Decrease or increase? What? How's it go? I must decrease, he increased, you know, decrease, he increases. But a lot of times... we act as if I must increase, and definitely I'm bringing God down to here. I'm definitely decreasing him because I can't believe I'm offended God and I'm leaving. This is stupid. That is so holy, isn't it? Of course, there's other things, and we'll just run over it. He wanted me to have part 3 anyways, but the 7th fruit is fruit of the Spirit. We know those in Galatians 5, 22-23. One that is not well known, Matthew 3, 8. The fruit of repentance, bring forth therefore fruits, meat for repentance. We'll go over that a little more just in review. The biggest one I think we're missing, James 3:18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. There's just the fruit of peace. I mean, I want to live a peaceful life. I can't get over it. I'm getting tired of angry people. I'm getting tired of angry homes, angry teenagers that will put their parents in fear because of their physical anger. And I deal with it probably on a regular basis with some people, and I just like, you don't understand the fruit that you're missing. There's something about peace. Some people call it boredom. Oh, I couldn't live in a house like that. I can. I like peace. I don't know anybody... You can raise your hand at home. Everyone loves a peaceful home. No one wants to go to home to a screaming wife and a screaming husband and an angry husband. And, I mean, and then kids are like, should I go out there? I don't know. My mom and dad are fighting. Pastor Cole can tell you, he lived not in that normal life where it was constant, non-peaceful. But there's something about a Christian life, it should be fruit of peace. And, of course, fruit of thanksgiving. We've run out of time, but hopefully we'll finish it up next week. Pastor wanted me to do part 3, too. So, but thank you so much. Have a great resurrection. We'll see you in a few moments for the main service. Thank you for listening.